That's Lee Morgan on trumpet. Herbie Hancock is on piano, by the way. Billy Higgins is on drums. Jackie McLean on alto sax. Hank Mobley on tenor sax. And Larry Ridley on bass. On this number called Cornbread. I love these kinds of names that some of these musicians give their work, you know. Cornbread. What in the world inspired that as the title of this tune? I'd love to know. This is Lead Stories. I'm Mutrice Lead. And today, oh Lord, so much has happened. Can you keep up? I can't. I'll tell you right now, it's just overwhelming. Too much is happening at the same time. Too much that is too dire. It's all happening at the same time. And you get the feeling just observing. I mean, we're not even direct participants. We're just observers. And you get the feeling that you're going like 10 rounds with Mike Tyson or worse, Muhammad Ali. It's just too much. But we have to go through it. This is life. This is how it works. But I wanted to get to this sooner, and I'm not going to wait another day. It concerns Donald Trump. As you know, the troops are now officially out of Afghanistan. We will find out some more about what the reaction is by the Afghan or the Taliban army, what's going on with the people, how they are reacting. We don't know these things just yet. But you can imagine how tense the atmosphere must be there, because it's like all this pent-up hostility. What do you do with it? And you can certainly expect that just a trigger, a hair triggers way away from major explosions, and they will happen frequently, because now there's no place for the Afghans to run and hide. And their long sworn enemies are right there with them. It's I can't even comprehend how life goes on in situations like that. But I wanted to talk about Trump, and I've delayed it a couple of times already owing to breaking stories and other stories that had a greater sense of urgency to them, and we got through that. So now I want to finish it up and talk about the story that had been hanging there for a while. And it concerns Donald Trump. Is Donald Trump's "I'm still president and nobody can do anything about it" campaign? That's what I call his campaign. "I'm still president and nobody can do anything about it." But of course, people can do things about it. Is it doing real damage to Biden and to the Biden administration? Or is it proving Trump's desperate need to hold on to power so that he can carry out his hidden unfinished agendas? So we're talking about Trump today. Now that there's been some kind of a resolution, it's not a perfect resolution by any means in Afghanistan, but Trump, as you may recall, has been insisting that he be paid attention to. He's covering the news himself now. He's telling the media what's news. And of course, he's always the star of the show, all to keep his name in people's heads. And there seems to be an unwillingness, and I can understand it. Nobody wants to engage him. Certainly not Biden wants to directly engage him, saying, hey, I thought I'd bring it to your attention that you lost the election. Get out, get lost, and do something until the season rolls around and you might want to run again. But until then, shut up and disappear. Do us all a favor. But of course, Trump is doing this to irritate Biden, but at the same time to keep his name and his image in front of the American people. And it appears that the U.S. media are only too happy to oblige. I don't know what it is, this allegiance, this blind allegiance they have to Donald Trump, but everything that he says, if he burps, they cover it as big news. And it keeps Trump and his image and his thoughts, if I could use the word loosely, in play, and people still are reminded that he's around and that they should be patient because he is going to come out full steam when the time comes. But until then, he's going to do these things, nipping at Biden's heels. He's an irritant. And he has been very successful just the same in keeping his image alive, keeping his persona alive, and keeping the media in check. Are you really loyal to me, or are you just playing games, is what he's asking them. And they are very quick to respond in the affirmative, of course. Of course we're loyal to you. We know you. You're one of us. So this is the game he's been playing for a while. And now that the situation in Afghanistan has entered into yet another phase, Trump is all the more eager to remind people that Biden messed things up big time. And of course, he wouldn't have messed things up if he were elected, if people were smart enough and sensible enough to elect him, to have elected him president. These embarrassments to the country would never occur because, of course, Donald Trump is in charge and he knows all things, does all things well, is a very successful person and sane as well. So that's the question I pose to you today. Is Trump's campaign, the campaign of I'm still president and nobody could do anything about it, I'm not going anywhere campaign, is that doing any real damage to Biden and his administration? Or is it actually proving Trump's desperate need to hold on to power or to regain power so that he can carry out the rest of his hidden and unfinished agendas? That's the question I pose to you today. I'm eager to hear what you have to say. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. How do we explain Trump, really? Nobody in the media quite seems to know where to place him. Yes, he's an ex-president, but he doesn't realize that. And his followers, such as they are, don't seem to realize that he's an ex-president. And many in the media don't seem to recognize that he is an ex-president. He gets pretty much, in some cases, he gets even more coverage than Joe Biden. Joe Biden might be saying, I am not going to express any dissatisfaction with things as they are, because that would be translated into a fight. You know, I'm fighting Donald Trump. He's gotten me, and he has irritated me to the point where I feel I must respond. So that might be the situation with Biden. He is just laying low, ignoring Trump as much as he can. But Trump is going to go, as you know, he's a man of excesses. So he will go to the excess in this matter and really stretch out now, because the theme would be, yes, the U.S. troops are out, but what a mess. What an absolute mess Joe Biden has made of this whole thing, costing lives of servicemen and women, costing trillions of dollars to be spent over quite a few years. And we haven't gained anything as a country from this endeavor. What are your thoughts today? 888-874-4888. I should remind you that when I announce the number to call, the faster you respond, the better, because we don't end up with a logjam of people toward the end of the program. E from Edgewater, you start us off today. What are your thoughts about the Trump plan, what seems to be the Trump plan?
Good afternoon, Eutrice. I hope you're feeling well today. Thank you. Now, well, see, on Friday, Free Your Mind Friday, the end of the show, the last 15 minutes was taken up on Trump again. You and the caller were arguing about some Trump nonsense, and all it does was waste good airtime that we need to have for our Free Your Mind Friday show. Oh, I think
but
Donald
is that,
Trump.
Is that a fair criticism? What is? Am I in the habit of arguing about nonsense?
No, I'm not saying it was all on you. It was the caller wanted to defend Donald Trump. You know, in the name of fairness.
So he wanted to defend Donald Trump. So what should I have done?
Yeah, so she pulled you into this argument, and it just keeps going around in the circle. It doesn't get anywhere because it's never going to get anywhere, because the problem is Donald Trump and Joe Biden are exactly the same. They look different, they sound different, and there's a lot of differences physically, but they're both serving the same system. They're both answering this call to the same system that controls both of them. They have to.
Now, are you making a fair statement? You made a statement as if you have proof. Do you have proof of that?
There's a lot of things in life that you don't have proof.
but you can't say that. Either have
sitting
proof
in a chair reading
to back
a book,
up your statement, or you don't. Just give me one bit of proof. Or back up your premise, the premise of your argument today, with something that suggests that it's not just all coming out of your head.
Well, for the last 6 years, we the callers have been calling in, and we all seem to agree that it's a one-party system that makes believe it's two parties to keep us off balance and make us think that we have a democracy of at least two people to choose from, when we used to have at least six or seven people. Now it's just down to two. Well, why is it just down to two? Because it's easier that way to control us.
Who's responsible for that? Who's responsible that there are just two? You're hinting at something, but again.
Yes, the people are. The people are responsible. Just as I'm talking about Friday, you and the caller were responsible for throwing 15 minutes of the show away because we're not going to get anywhere worrying about Donald Trump.
Here's a thing you have to accept, okay? You may not like it, but it is my show. And I have been in this business for 40-something years. I kind of know, I have a sense of when people are trying to say something, but they haven't really put it together in their heads. So you give them some room so they can express it. Now, it may not fly with a lot of people, but that's the way I do it. I think it is important to try as hard as you can to get people to say on the record what it is they're thinking. And then to, just like I just did with you, how do you justify or how do you prove, if you will, what you're saying is legitimate? It takes conversation. It takes time. I have a good sense of how to regulate my show. I have a good sense of that. And like right now, you're way off topic. In fact, you're not even on the topic. You're way off topic. You're doing your Friday show right now. Despite the fact that I read it twice, what we're talking or supposed to be talking about today. But you're talking about what you want to talk about. And you want to drag me along for the ride.
No,
we're doing exactly the same thing.
I'm just trying to bring out the point that it's pointless arguing about Trump because it's not going to get anywhere. And so it's like...
That's your opinion.
Well, how
you're
long
entitled
has it gotten
to
us?
An opinion, and the caller was entitled to her opinion, and I was challenging her.
I understand that, but it's not the first time that this has occurred, Teresa. It's happened many times.
Let me ask you then. How many times would you allow me?
You can
on my own program, how many times would you allow me to do that?
You could do whatever you like. I'm not saying you can't. You could do whatever you like. All I'm saying is
I'm doing exactly what you oppose right now. I'm talking to you. You're off topic.
Right.
You are completely off topic. You have taken the program where you want it to go, and you're being confrontational. But
no,
you don't see the
I'm
problem
being...
there.
The question was, is Joe Biden bothered by Donald Trump? Something to that effect. Isn't that the question?
There's nothing to an effect. It was explicitly said. There was nothing to the any effect. I read it twice. And I said, this is what I'd like us to talk about today. Is Trump's, I'm still a president and nobody can do anything about it, campaign doing real damage to Biden and his administration? Or is it proving Trump's desperate need to hold on to power so he can carry out his hidden, unfinished agendas? Now, that if that's not explicit, I don't know what is.
Okay.
Is that muddied or is that clear enough?
That's clear, and I was going to get to that question. I just put in the beginning part because of the way I felt Friday that here we go again.
But we are not, you see, you can see, as I say, you can see the beam. The mote, in your eye, to quote the biblical saying, you see the mote in somebody else's eye, but you don't see the beam in your own. You're doing exactly what you're condemning.
I don't see how that Well, I could understand that if you thought I was calling to defend Donald Trump, but that's not what my purpose is.
I don't think you're defending Donald Trump. I just think you're off course and you allow yourself the privilege and the right to be off course.
Okay, I apologize. I'm just giving my feelings about something when it comes to Donald Trump and this political situation that we're in. He's just a distraction and an annoyance. And every time we get him back into the scene, it's just like a revival of him. And I just believe let dead dogs lie and let's just forget about him. And if he wants to just spout off every day, that's his business. But it really doesn't have anything to do with us. And in fact, the 4 years that he was president, nothing really got done except a lot of wasted time on investigations that never went anywhere. So I thought we finally got through those 4 years and now we could like be rid of it. That's the point I'm trying to bring up. You know, I'm not trying to argue.
All right. I'll accept your explanation, but please trust that I know what I'm doing.
Oh, I know
that
100%.
Is this not something that, you know, just came into my head as a vapor? I know what I'm doing. Trust it. But thanks for calling in and getting us started today. Darby from New York, you're on the air. What have you to say about the question posed?
Well, you know, I sort of understood the previous caller and along the conversation that you had. But what I wanted to say is that Trump is a microcosm of the people that support him. If the people didn't support him, they would not. They would. He would be nothing. Now, I think of America, the land that I love, as being the eagle. And the eagle has the right wing and a left wing. And the right wing has always been the strongest and most dominant. I mean, when you think about where this country has come from, this country was industrialized slavery. Therefore, the left wing is part of that eagle that the gentleman was referring to, and he is always, they are always trying to appease or be like the right wing or as strong as the right wing.
But that is not my question. That is not the question.
Yes.
Or the
but you
are taking us now on a scenic tour of some political philosophy. It doesn't belong here.
But what
it doesn't belong in this conversation.
Trump wouldn't be nothing if the people didn't support him wholeheartedly.
I'm not asking whether Trump would be something or nothing if the people supported him or didn't support him. May I just repeat this? Because apparently it's a matter of comprehension I'm having today.
No. Go.
Let me read it. Let me read it again.
Okay.
Is Trump's "I'm still president and nobody can do anything about it" campaign doing real damage to Biden and his administration? That's clear. That's a clear, clearly stated premise.
No.
Or is it proving Trump's desperate need to hold on to power so he can carry out his hidden, unfinished agendas? Wouldn't you say that that's a clearly stated question?
Of course. All right. Now, the first part is, what Trump is doing interferes with Biden.
You're not answering the question again. I just read the question.
All right.
So
to
be very clear and so that everybody could appreciate again what the focus of our discussions ought to be today, and I'm asking you, are you clear about the question?
Okay. Well, when when you gave me two questions. The first question was Trump interference. Could you repeat the first question and let's deal with that one first? Go ahead.
Actually, it's one question.
Okay.
With two points. It's not two different. Why am I having such difficulty today? Let me read it again.
Okay.
Is Trump's "I'm still president and nobody can do anything about it" campaign doing real damage to Biden and his administration? Or is it proving Trump's desperate need to hold on to power so he can carry out his hidden, unfinished agendas?
Okay.
I couldn't think of a question more clearly stated.
Yes. But you see, the premise of the question is...
Don't analyze the premise of the question because you don't know. Okay. I am the author of the question, so I know the premise of the question.
Absolutely. Yes, no.
Okay.
Well, the first part of that one question is no. Now, what I was saying in the beginning, why I want to tell you why I'm saying no, is because, as the gentleman said before, Biden is not that much different than Trump.
Again, you're wandering off.
Okay,
it's not part of the question. It shouldn't be part of the focus of your answer. Well, I'm not discussing whether Biden is this or Biden is that. I'm asking, and I have to repeat it again.
Yes.
Because now I'm beginning to believe that I'm not clear.
Yes.
Is Trump's "I'm still president and nobody can do anything about it" campaign doing real damage to Biden and his administration? Now, how much clearer could I be?
Yes. So the clear answer to that is no, it's not. I mean, Trump is doing referred to a hidden agenda. His agenda is not that hidden. But the fact is that he is doing what he's doing is because of the strong right wing of this eagle that I referred to is allowing him to do that. And the answer to it is no. But Biden wants to appease, and everybody on the left wing of the spirit always want to appease the right, even though they supposedly think progressively. But the right still control, and that's what Trump has been. The right, you know, everybody that has been on the right is always taught. But I think the right has found its. In Trump, they have found the person that they always looked for. And that's how Trump will guide Biden. But he is not. Biden is trying to play both sides of the fence.
Well, here's the thing. You are playing both sides of the fence because you haven't given me a clear answer. You're on this side, and then you switch over to another side, and you're giving, pros and cons of the same thing. It is a very simple, straightforward question that should elicit a very straightforward response. Why are you all over the place?
No, because I'm trying to explain my answer, but the fact was,
you don't have to explain your answer. This is my point.
Okay.
Your answer should be so clear that it doesn't need explanation. You just need to articulate it so that you can understand what your rationale is.
Listen to you.
If you have one.
Yes. Yes. No, I don't think that Trump, "I am still president," affects Biden in the sense of his core beliefs, but he's not that much different. If that still doesn't answer, I'm always intrigued when I'm listening to you because.
Are you hearing yourself? That still doesn't answer. You're absolutely right. So we'll try somebody else. Let's see if we get as close as possible to an answer to the very simple, straightforward question today. I'm having a particular trouble trying to get people to just listen to the question, listen what is asked, listen to what is asked, and give an answer that makes sense. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing. Thank you very much. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. Please.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, you three. How are you?
Is there something in the air, something was sprayed that confused everybody today? What's going on?
Well, like a teacher told me many years ago when I was in middle school, focus is everything. Focus is everything. And attention to detail is paramount when trying to do anything in your life. That being said, do I believe that Trump, I am still president, and what I say is paramount as opposed to the prevailing administration working? Yes, I believe it is working. I believe it is working for him. What people discount is that 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Biden did not receive a mandate. Biden's win was a sneak by and a vote against Trump. And Trump knows this to a certain extent, no matter how insane he is. And as long as he can hold on to that large chunk of the American population by pontificating, by pointing out Biden's weakness, by pointing out Biden's foibles, especially the defeat in Iran, the defeat in Afghanistan, excuse me, and how the media is comparing it to Vietnam, that plays a note on a certain segment of the population that is not going to change. Americans have short attention spans, and elections come frequently, and the election can change on a heartbeat if the right amount of people vote and the right amount of people don't vote. There's gerrymandering going on in this country right now because the Voter Suppression Acts that were passed in certain counties. And the election is still a numbers game. No matter whether you're left wing, right wing, whatever you want to call it, the election's a numbers game. And if you can play the numbers right, if he can hold on to that base, which believes he can walk on water by playing this game, it might pan out to him with another presidency, or at least him being able to maintain the GOP political power that he has now. The GOP still counts out to him. Romney, all of these GOP eyes still count out to him. And there's still remnants of Republican Party left that he controls. So that being said, I believe he's successful in what he's trying to do, and he might be more successful depending upon the climate of the country when the next election comes up.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome.
For offering something that closely resembles an answer, which is all I was looking for.
Be pleased to aim. Or aim to please. You want to take.
Thanks so much for your response and your participation today. I now have renewed hope in humanity. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And Ed is responsible for that, for restoring hope. That I could ask a question and everybody could get it and then answer it directly without taking us on a scenic tour to nowhere. All right. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatree.
Hello.
Hi. I'm at Central Park. I think that the first question is no. I think that when Trump came, I mean, I think one of the things that really keeps Trump supporters hanging on to Trump is that he was not so he was against a mandate for the vaccine. And many people took that as he's also against the vaccine. And so I think a lot of people have been hoping that he would come back in and take the reins of the situation. But I think when he petered out on that the other day, he probably lost about half of the support that he had with his voters. So I also think the volume of the other issues is so high right now that very few people are actually listening to him or taking him seriously. We're in such a serious situation right now with vaccine mandates and having an authoritative government standing on our steps that I think people are mainly focused on that. I mean, I go out and I still see Trump supporters, and I think Trump supporters are, you know, diehard supporters. They're going to stay there forever. But I don't think he's getting the attention so much of the American people, but perhaps the media. The media, for sure, always. Trump is a good show. He always brings ratings in because he's a buffoon and a nutcase, and so people like to watch him perform. My mother loves to hate him. She despises him. She never misses him when he's on TV because she loves. She's practically throwing, you know, bombs at the TV while she's watching him. So he does bring ratings in. And the second part of the question is about his hidden agenda. I should say I don't think Trump ever hid his agenda. I think it was pretty clear what his agenda was on many issues. He was very, very much in many topics, very fascistic. And I also want to say, just to Ede, I don't want to veer off. I just want to say one thing regarding Ede's comment that nothing happened in the last 4 years. He is deadly wrong. Trump had so much impact on the environment, particularly global warming, because when Trump got rid of the Clean Water Act, he allowed all kinds of new construction to be built all over wetlands, all over the United States. And that is just bringing in more and more flooding. So I think that it's the hidden things. And the other thing that Trump brought in were these extremely conservative judges, which will be here for the rest of our lives. So to say that Trump had no impact is ridiculous. He had a huge impact. But again, I don't think people are taking him that seriously. Now, I think we're focused on really serious issues, and he's not one of them.
All right. Well, thank you. Whew, two Thanks. In a row. That's pretty good. Thanks a lot, Quinn, for your contribution today. Wayne from New York, you're on the air. At 888-874-4888. Thank you. Wayne, you're on the air. Okay, Wayne is not on the air. Gene from Maryland, you're on the air.
Hey, Utrice, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
So I'm listening, and I really appreciate you holding on to the guy and stretching him out a bit, the guy that called before Ed. I didn't catch his name, but it occurs
to me. That was Darby.
Me,
no, okay, not Darby. That was E from Edgewater.
That was probably. E. Okay. Oh, boy, I should have known E. I apologize, E. It occurs to me, and I think I called one time a couple of weeks ago and addressed this a bit. You know, your question was, does this affect Biden and Biden's presidency? On the shorthand, I'd say no, it doesn't. Because, again, my usual shtick here is that constitutionally, Biden is president, and he holds the power of the president, and that Trump is simply making noise at this point. However, the noise that he is making, I think, is effective in a couple of ways because he's commanding media attention and time, and he's taking up that space where Biden is failing. And I think those are important things to look at. But again, those are not things that are addressing policy. Those are things that are addressing public opinion. Those are things that are addressing people's and media pundits' view of Biden and or Trump. But they are not things that address the policy and the reality of things on the ground. So, for example, Biden's response to this pandemic and what's happening, where policy is being implemented now as children begin to go back to school. And a decision is being made. I read an article day before yesterday. Dr. Fauci has now said that it is time, and I'm quoting, it is time for children to be mandated to have vaccines before returning to school, at which point I sat up straight and really paid attention. These are the things that I think as those who are watching and paying attention and commenting on what's going on is where our focus should be. The noise that Donald Trump is making, I don't think so, because at a minimum, Donald Trump can't do anything for another 3 years. Even if Joe Biden comes out of office this evening, Donald Trump can't do anything for another 3 years at a minimum. And I think that's a long time between now and the time that we actually have to worry about Donald Trump having the power to actually do anything with respect to the office of the president.
Well, in politics, it's about who gets the most airplay, the most face time, the most coverage, the greater opportunities to be in front of people with your idea, with your attitude even. Trump's attitude still has not improved. He's still raucous, he's still raw, he's still very much unlike a statesman. But some people like that. He believes he's connecting. He's connecting with his peeps.
And that's true. But he's doing that. However, he cannot pick up the telephone and call up the Joint Chiefs of Staff and say, send the aircraft carrier. He can't do that.
No, he can't. But as the question then becomes, is Joe Biden, is he kind of receding from being very public and very comfortable being the head of state? Is he comfortable with that? Or is he becoming more and more reclusive?
Well,
giving Trump,
Ed pointed this out,
yielding space to Trump.
Ed pointed this out a few weeks ago, and he said, and I'm quoting Ed here, Ed from Queens, Ed said that Joe Biden is president because enough people voted against Trump. Not that people were voting for Biden. And I think that's important with respect to your last comment, that we recognize and remember that. Biden's comfort level is such that, number one, is he's got the big money of the party behind him. And number two, I think his age. He does not have to worry about whatever he's going to do next after his presidency is over. He doesn't have to worry about that. So I don't think he is really concerned about his comfort level in the office and the things that he's doing in the office and his legacy and all that kind of stuff. Whereas Obama did have to worry about those things. So I don't think we are really seeing much from Biden beyond what the typical forces behind the president require the president to do.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks
thank
a
you.
Lot. Bye-bye. We're getting more and more clarity as we go. Thanks so much for your call today and your input. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Nutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope you continue to do well with your health.
Thank you. Thank you. And good afternoon to you.
I think that in terms of Joe Biden, you know, there's something called buyer's remorse, and sometimes you need to be careful what you wish for.
Now, are you talking still about Biden, or are you talking buyer's remorse in terms of voters?
I'm talking about Biden. I'm talking about, because, you know, for the longest time he has wanted to be president. And as was stated before, this really was not a pro-Biden presidency so much as it was an anti-Trump presidency. And so in terms of Biden's comfort level with the presidency, I don't get a sense that he is comfortable with the position. He wanted it, but now that he has it, I'm not really quite sure that he really understands. Now he's beginning to understand the gravity of the position. One would thought that when as close as he was to Obama, that he would have seen that. But I think sometimes you really want it. You want it so bad, you don't, there's not clarity about actually being in the seat. But with Trump, Trump is eating him alive in the sense that he's keeping himself visible and focused. And as we know, what Trump is not so much someone who is intellectually capable, but he has a way of moving his base to his center. And this is really more about race-based politics than anything else. As we know, race trumps merit. It trumps common sense. And not only is Trump keeping himself relevant, but his surrogates are keeping him relevant. I mean, every day, even when Trump is not on the air, his surrogates are keeping him relevant. And that further damages Joe Biden, who is coming across as not being assertive, not being comfortable with making decisions, not being comfortable with the decisions that one has made. He says he is, but you don't get the sense that he really firmly believes it in his gut that, yes, I made the decision and I'm comfortable with it. So I fear for him in terms of the damage that Donald Trump and Donald Trump's surrogates are doing to him.
Do you get the sense that that we should expect someday soon a statement about Biden and his loss of interest in politics?
Well, I don't know if that's going to come, because the next in line is Kamala Harris. And we have been seeing in the airwaves recently people commenting about how she's not up for the task and how, as the vice president, she doesn't know what she's doing. Her office is in chaos. So I don't know that people are going to run to that place, because next in line is Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
So they
and
may
she,
be stuck with
she
what
really
got.
Is like out of it, or she feels left out of it. One of the two. She's just out of it, or she just feels left out of it.
I think she's being isolated, and I'm not really quite sure why. I mean, she was never that strong a presidential candidate. I'm not, and the only reason she became the vice presidential candidate was to provide some melanin for the ticket. I'm sorry to be so harsh.
Oh, this brutal assessment's going on here today. But you're right. And you notice that she has been given assignments that would that involve her being away from the United States for quite a while. You know, always on the go, never home long enough to grow any roots here. And one wonders whether this was a deliberate thing, whether she even realizes it, or whether she has come to terms with it and said, well, one way or the other, I'll make it work.
Well, I don't know the answer to that question. I only know that the assignments that she has been given, there does not seem to be any goal in the assignments, any outcome. that is articulated. Okay. So it makes, I don't know. She's between a rock and a hard place.
That's right. But thanks so much for calling in and contributing today. As usual, very insightful. Wayne, you're on the air.
Good day, you, Teresa. And Hello.
Yes.
Happy today is what, Tuesday. As regards the question that you're asking, I think Trump is taking this from the point of fact that the country right now has two constitutions, one for the original U.S. of A. and one for the Corporation of America. He thinks he is doing it under the original constitutional law, and Biden is operating under the company, the business aspect of it, of America. So he have all these maybe legal avenues to tread down. But it's interesting because I'd like to see it play out from both ends in the court so we could determine which constitution is real and which isn't.
What do you think is Trump's end goal here? I mean, obviously, it would be to garner enough visibility, which would translate into support, which would translate into a possible victory if he should run. But what is, in the meantime, what is he doing?
He is keeping alive his cause through the law. If the country is under the rule, and it was changed, recently, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one that changed it when he came in, to more or less kill the effects of the company law. America registered as a company law. And this is why he was trying to bring back some of the old stuff. So he operating under one set of values, as they call it, the Patriot values, and Biden operating under the corporation values.
So it is so hard for me to hear you speak of Trump and values in the same sentence. I just don't hear that association.
Yeah, it's interesting. But regardless of how you classify him, he has values too. All of us have. It mightn't appeal to the other person, but we do.
I understand.
The thing is this. Yeah, I know. But it's interesting. And you know a lot more about the law than I do. So if you could give me an explanation of the two sets of them, the constitutional and the corporational law that govern America right now.
Well, I don't know the details of the corporation law or the constitutional law or what makes them different. I'll have to ask somebody about that. There are people who would give me an answer, but from what I understand, I think this is one of those things that, frankly, has been made up and given a lot of heft when there really isn't that much heft here. The country has been pretty clear about where it stands legally as a nation, what governs the law. And if there is now a question and a need for revision, I think that is something that should be discussed nationally, not just Trump. Trump is not a great mind, that's for sure. He's not an intellectual. So he is parroting something that somebody told him. And it's like a lot of things that are happening now where people look for obscure or arcane interpretations of the law or practice, and it becomes a major issue simply because they put so much weight behind it. But that doesn't mean it's a legitimate argument. The law has been pretty clearly defined as to how we are operating, what we refer to as a constitution, a national constitution. It's pretty clear what it is. There are people who, however, they like the idea of let's throw a monkey wrench into the works, and that should take a lot of time to get resolved. Sometimes they happen upon a glitch or something that is omitted or something that should be inserted, and therefore they have a, quote, case, unquote. But we don't know. We don't know. And coming from Donald Trump, all things automatically become suspect, in my book. Just the other day, the Supreme Court upbraided his lawyers, saying that they don't know what kind of law they're practicing, but it is not legal. What it is they arguing is the law. So, you know, things are being manufactured to take up time, to serve as, to devolve attention away from things that are really important and pressing, and to get us into this mode of taking apart things and spending a lot of time on small matters that were resolved a long time ago that they want to re-argue, re-represent to the court. But it's not going to work. Not really. When you come up against people who really are lawyers, Trump is not one. Trump has never been a legal mind, which is why he's lost most of his cases in court. Most of the cases he has brought, he and his lawyers, they couldn't pass muster in a court of law. Oh, well, there's music. That means it's goodbye time. Thank you so much, all of you who have contributed today. Let's get together tomorrow and talk some more stuff. Bye-bye.